KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Our sports update is brought to you this morning by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. Well, checking sports this morning, the Iowa Games officials are still planning on holding their summer games in July, but the COVID-19 pandemic has forced several sports to be canceled or adjusted. Spokesman Corey Kennedy says air gun competition has been canceled, district qualifying for bowling has been moved to July, and the bowling finals have been moved to August.
Our figure skating event has been canceled, lacrosse has been canceled, rowing is canceled, and our high school trap shooting event, which is usually at the beginning of, actually it would have been this coming weekend here, has been canceled as well. So, and all of our other sports and events that are normally part of the Summer Iowa Games are as scheduled, you know, as of today.
The first of three weekends of competition is set for July 11th and 12th.
We're continually just monitoring the situation, you know, going with what the governor recommends and different federal recommendations for events of our size. We're very hopeful that we can be able to host the summer games. At this point, we're just it's kind of a week by week thing.
Kennedy says a lot will depend upon when the Iowa State University campus reopens.
We have a lot of events, on campus, and we're continually talking to them and seeing what their plan is. And they might not even know what their plan is right now. The best recommendation that we have right now, is just kind of follow our social media pages, go to iowagames.org, find your sport, and we update that as often as we can as information comes in.
Kennedy is advising Iowans to register online.
If you think you're going to compete and you want to compete, we want you to register, and if we don't have the event, obviously you'll get refunded. So that's kind of where we're at right now, and the best way to find the deadlines is kind of look at each particular sport that you're interested in.
The main weekend of competition, which includes the opening ceremonies, is scheduled for July 16th through the 19th. Iowa's Michael Ojemudia feels experience will help him transition to the National Football League. Ojemudia was selected in the third round of the NFL draft by the Denver Broncos after a senior season in which he was named a second team All-Big Ten.
I did the whole 5 years at Iowa, so started off as a special team, started for the last 2 years of my career, and I just worked my butt off the whole time, try to get wisdom from the older guys when my time came. So, I never took advantage. Didn't take advantage of my time. Everything happened for a reason, and that's why I played my best at the end of my career.
He joins a Bronco team that includes former Hawkeye linebacker Josie Jewell and tight end Noah Fant.
I played on the same defense as Josie, been good friends with Noah. So, I know those guys, and, I plan to bring just a hard-nosed, physical guy, a guy that makes plays, just a guy that's going to set the tone every time he's out there. So, I'm definitely gonna bring some grittiness to that DB room.
Ojemudia says a talented group of receivers will help him improve in training camp.
That's gonna be big. That's gonna be a big adjustment for me, and it's gonna help me. It's gonna be harder than the game sometimes. So, going against those guys, it's gonna get my technique. It's just gonna improve my game way faster than a lot of guys that don't have the luxury of facing them in practice.
Well, the NFL has set protocols for reopening the team facilities and has told the 32 teams to have them in place by May 15th. Commissioner Roger Goodell mapped out several phases of protocols in a memo obtained by the Associated Press. The first phase, to deal with the coronavirus pandemic, would involve a limited number of non-player personnel. That number initially would be 50% of the non-player employees and up to a total of 75 on any single day being approved to be at the facility. But state or local regulations could require a lower number. The individual clubs would decide which employees could return to the facility and when once the buildings reopen. No players would be permitted in the facility except to continue therapy and rehabilitation for injuries that were underway when facilities were ordered closed in late March. Goodell noted that the league is actively working on the next phase of reopening, which will involve both more staffers and players. He said the players' union is also being consulted on these steps. Well, the NBA says some players can voluntarily work out at their team practice facilities starting Friday, with some very specific conditions and only in places where local and state governments have signed off on such openings. But it's unclear how many, if any, players will be back on the floor when the league ban gets lifted. Some teams aren't ready to welcome players back immediately, and many teams aren't allowed to open yet because of local rules. All but one of the 14 schools in the Southeastern Conference have indicated they plan to reopen their campuses for the fall semester, a step widely believed to be needed to resume football and other sports. South Carolina and Tennessee became the latest schools in the nation's top football conference to announce their plans, joining Alabama, LSU, and others. Vanderbilt hasn't announced its plans for the fall. The Big 12 Conference has become the first Power 5 conference to say it will hold its football media days virtually. About 500 media members are usually credentialed to attend Big 12 media days, which were scheduled to be held July 21st through the 22nd at AT&T Stadium near Dallas. The NCAA has approved a waiver that will allow schools to spend below the minimum level on athletic scholarships required to compete in Division I. The Division I Council Coordination Committee approved two other blanket waivers Wednesday that had been requested by several conferences in recent weeks in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Basketball and football players will be allowed to participate in summer athletic activities without being enrolled in the school. Fans will be allowed to enter baseball stadiums Friday for games in Taiwan for the first time this season. It's part of a gradual easing of restrictions amid the pandemic. The China Professional Baseball League said up to 1,000 people would be permitted to enter ballparks after an agreement between the league and Taiwan's Central Epidemic Command Center. A person with knowledge of negotiations tells the Associated Press the Maryland Jockey Club and NBC Sports have set aside three possible dates for the running of the Preakness. The NBC affiliate in Baltimore reported the Preakness will be run October 3rd. The person tells the AP that that's one of the three possible dates, along with one each in July and in August. The Preakness was originally set for May 16th as the second jewel of the Triple Crown. The uncertain timeline allows for the possibility of the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont being run out of order. The head of the Australian Open says various contingency plans are being considered for the Grand Slam tournament scheduled for January of 2021. They include scrapping it altogether because of the pandemic or allowing just spectators from the host country. Tennis Australia CEO Craig Tilley tells the Australian Associated Press that tournament organizers have modeled everything. He says the worst-case scenario is no tournament at all next year. He says the best-case scenario at this point is having an Australian Open with only Australian fans. Wimbledon has been canceled for the first time in 75 years. The French Open has been moved from May to September, while a decision on this year's U.S. Open is expected next month. A former Wake Forest center, Oliver Olivier Saar, says he's transferring to Kentucky. That move gives the Wildcats a veteran seven-footer after the team's entire starting lineup declared for the NBA draft. Saar is a 255-pounder from France who was the Demon Deacons' leading rebounder and second-leading scorer last season. He announced his decision to play for the Wildcats on social media. He also called former Demon Deacons coach Danny Manning and his staff family. Manning was fired last month and replaced by Steve Forbes. East Tennessee State has filled the loss of men's basketball coach Steve Forbes by promoting Jason Shea to the post. Shea spent the last 5 years as an assistant to Forbes, who left to take over the Wake Forest basketball program. The Buccaneers went 130-43 during that time for the program's best record over a five-year stretch in school history. ETSU set a single-season record for victories this past season, going 30-4 and winning the Southern Conference's regular season and tournament titles. An NCAA panel has rejected an appeal by former UConn men's basketball coach Kevin Ollie, who sought to overturn findings that he violated ethical conduct rules while leading the Huskies. The NCAA Division I Infractions Appeals Committee ruled Ollie failed to prove that information he presented, alleging witnesses lie against him lied outweighed the information that supported the violation findings. Former NFL quarterback Brett Favre is repaying $1.1 million in welfare money that he received for multiple speeches where he did not show up. Auditor Shad White said his office received $500,000 from Favre on Wednesday, plus a commitment that Favre will repay the other $600,000 in installments over the next few months. Favre's effort to repay the money came 2 days after White released an audit of spending by the Mississippi Department of Human Services. The audit showed Favre had been paid by Mississippi Community Education Center, a nonprofit group whose former leader has been indicted in a welfare embezzlement scheme. The audit was released months after a former Human Services director and five other people were indicted on state charges of embezzling about $4 million. They've pleaded not guilty and are awaiting trial in what White has called one of Mississippi's largest public corruption cases in decades. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.